Arm's Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. We are trying something new right now with some of our best friends, that being Chris Temple of the National Investor, Dr. John Huber of the Texas Sanitary Association, Insanity Association, and of course, a Lieutenant Colonel retired Jim McKinney, my friend here in Semiamu. All of us are going to be opining on the following subject, and that is, in a very general sense, the subject of the amount of control that is the potential for social media. That's a terrifying situation for me because I have come to the conclusion that the amount of control is rather huge, to say the least. It bothers me. You know, I've always known that advertising, which is something I've been involved in all my life and I know quite a bit about, advertising definitely does control the human mind, and I think John would agree with that along with everybody else. I mean, Ford Motor Company can convince you to go out even if you can't afford it and buy a Ford Thunderbird, and it goes on and on and on. But what we have with the various forms of social media right now is we have controlling people's minds to the point where you can control elections, you can control mass actions in a country if you have sophisticated social media, and if people are not aware of the amount of control that they are subjecting themselves to, it's absolutely terrifying to me. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
I think it's quite interesting that, you know, 30 years ago, our manufacturing, our industrial manufacturing, heavy manufacturing, cars, automobiles, aircraft, dominated the market capitalization. And right now, this last quarter, Microsoft was the top number one capitalized company, privately or publicly traded company. Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, and Facebook, all tech companies, all geared towards either, in Microsoft's, in Apple's case, they're actually, they produce electronics, but basically used for smartphones and computers in order to get to you through the marketing. It's a quite a different shift where manufacturing for productivity and things that you drove, things that you built, things that you flew on, to information age. And it's a huge shift. It's a huge shift. And I believe that the amount of influence dependent upon people's, the information they get, is incredible. I think there's a big potential problem. And I think it's completely dependent upon electronics and individuals, and there's a lot of risk in that.
Mr. T, what do you think about all of this? By the way, somebody's breathing into their microphone. Please don't do that. What do you think, T?
Well, look, I think that Stanley Kubrick, a half a century ago, came out with this movie, 2001, A Space Odyssey. And it was one of numerous instances over the years that kind of predicted where we're at today. I use social media every day. I'm on it constantly. It, to me, is a great tool. But that's all it is. And the problem as I see it, or one of the problems as I see it, is that this country in general's terms has been so dumbed down that the average American does not have any kind of a foundational knowledge, either of the country or of issues or anything like that. And so when what we should have is social media being a tool that will help us to better use or more efficiently use that foundational knowledge or time, it becomes the starting point for, really, I think, a majority of the population. And it's why people's emotions are so easily swayed. It's why people can jump from one issue to the other. And, you know, it's where snowflakes were created. And it really has made a bad situation worse, in my opinion, as far as information is concerned. And really, I should say knowledge, like is the saying that I have on my website.
Dr. Huber, you're an expert when it comes to the human psyche. Somebody is breathing into their mics, and it really sounds bad. it's unique, let me put it that way. So please, whoever's breathing into their mic, don't do that. Now, having said that, let me say this, that this is terrifying to me, John. How can we protect ourselves? And am I just overreacting, do you think?
I don't think you are. I mean, as I watched, in fact, I watched it this morning. I watched social media, and there was some evidence that came out from NASA, for example, about the whole global warming issue. That says that the rotation around the Earth, around the sun of the Earth, and how close it gets actually has the control over whether our planet is hotter or colder. And I posted that up, and I had a percentage of people who started going that's a lie, that doesn't have any effect on our weather, because it wasn't agreed upon by scientific consensus. And I started asking them, so we have a fact here, and you're going to say that fact's not important, and they go, I believe the scientists. I'm like, scientific consensus is not scientific methodology. You know, there's a process for us to say something is scientifically based. And immediately, everything went to emotion. Everything went to trying to call people names, but politely, because these are people that I know. And it was really funny watching the whole process, and sad at the same time, because these are otherwise very intelligent people, but they let that emotionality kick in. They stop thinking rationally. And once that happens, I think. We're all in trouble, because that emotionality just shuts off our rational thought. And it's exactly what the gaming community created back in the 80s, when they were making games like Wolfenstein and Doom. And the producers today at social media have capitalized on that, and they know human behavior better than they'll ever tell us. But they know it better than anybody else and how to manipulate it.
Chris, how do you feel about that? We've got about 2 minutes left here, you guys, but how do you feel about the fact that the people who are really administering the social media know much, much more than any of us do? What do you think about that?
Well, I think that goes with technology. It doesn't surprise me. The fact is that in our contemporary society, unless you want to go to some remote part of the earth in some developing nation, where the internet hasn't reached yet, and surveillance and corporate America and the international corporations, there is no such thing as privacy anymore. There might be degrees of a lack of privacy, but you know, I think we all understand today that because of these huge corporations, the Googles, the Facebooks, the Amazons, the Twitter, and all of the algorithms they've come up with to truly sway in a broad sense public opinion many times on stuff, you know, that's what they're all about. And it's like I said at the outset, that wouldn't be so bad, and things like Twitter and Google and Facebook and whatnot would be more of a utility to me, at least, to people generally, were it not for the fact that this, unfortunately for the majority of people, as dumbed down as this society has become, this is where they start. They think the foundation of knowledge is not the Bible, it's not the Constitution, it's not common sense, laws, mathematics, history. The foundation is what your buddy just posted in some dopey meme on social media. And that's our problem. And it really makes the lack of privacy worse, because we're not smart enough, or most people aren't smart enough, to know how to defend themselves.
You know, I have to say, Chris, I agree 100%. I'm going to take a real quick commercial break here, ladies and gentlemen. Going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Continuing on with our roundtable discussion of the impact of social media. Maybe I should say the potential impact of social media. I have to tell you, I think it's much more than potential, as I will probably say numerous times during this particular discussion. I think social media has the ability, quite frankly, to control the way society goes. And I find that to be a bit terrifying, because I view that as being analogous or similar to mind control. You know, the reason I am very, very interested in this subject is I was visiting Best Buy's this past week, and I was chatting with a lady down there who just immigrated from Russia. She was a young woman, but she was very, very involved in the high-tech industry, very involved in social media, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, I have to tell you, my background tells me people in sophisticated countries should be very wary of social media. And the reason they should be very wary of it is, she said, I agree with you, Mr. Corlin. I am convinced that social media can actually control the way people think and the actions that people take. Hey, you guys, to me, that is absolutely terrifying.
Hey, yeah, I think that Chris's point that the social media and the internet is an incredible tool, and it's certainly bringing a tremendous amount of information to us and making life potentially really good. I think there's some really negatives, though, because the ability to influence is really controlled by who has the data on the individuals. And as you collect all this data, and that's what Amazon and Alphabet and Facebook are doing, they're collecting personal data and profiles on what you like, how you live your life, and they're gathering where you drive, what you do, what you shop for, what types of things that you know, are you a Christian, are you a Muslim, are you, all these factors about your life. And I think that it's incredibly risky to give that much information to a very small group of people and then have the ability through the internet, through this connectivity that could be a very positive tool to influence and drive outcomes. And I think when you see the rise of influencers, where you have a large number of people that, just because of what they look like, they get on Instagram and they're able to publish pictures and people follow them, and then they make literally tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising fees just because they're at a beach in a bikini, or because they're burning something off of their forehead in some crazy effect. I think there's a huge amount of risk to it.
What do you think, Mr. T?
Well, I agree. And again, it's something where a good technology, something that advances the usefulness of information, of the transfer of money, of the economy, of thoughts and so forth, is good, but only if we use it in context. And it's kind of like the creation, again, in this sense, is overtaking the creator. One of the things I think is emblematic of this, and so many thoughts we could be sharing, guys, is that when you look at these big, huge, monolithic corporations, this to me is a perfect example of how we need to really redefine our vocabularies. I have believed for years that capitalism and communism are two sides of the same coin. Capitalism is a little slicker about the way in which corporations with political control are used to amass all kinds of control to themselves, whereas the communism is a more ham-fisted way where the government does it directly. The end result for the average person is little different. And don't lose sight of that. And I'm glad that we see actually politicians in both parties, some motivated by things different than the others, who are calling this fact out and looking at a Facebook, looking at a Google, looking at a Twitter for how they are taking increasing control of money, of the economy, of the markets, and of our minds, and at least bringing that question out, which is good.
Dr. John, how good or how bad is this thing?
You know, I love the fact that when the internet came out, and it's still available to us now, it is an open forum where we can pretty much say anything. We communicate to people all over the world. I regularly communicate to people in China, in Guam, in the Netherlands, sometimes on a daily basis, and I'm getting feedback from them on different things, geopolitical science and things like that. At the same time, you know, it's a tool. It's like a screwdriver, and you can use it to break into a home, or you can use it to build a home. And that's what I see happening now. And, you know, we have rules about using a screwdriver to break into a home, but we don't have any as a global society on the internet. And it is, you know, we're playing catch up. We've been playing catch up since day one, trying to catch up with societal norms and how they fit in that whole internet conundrum that we have now. It's a wonderful thing. It's amazing some of the things we can do now, you know, but it's also doing a lot destructively to us. For example, you know, a new study just came out that the average internet user has a frustration tolerance level of about 16 seconds. If the page doesn't load within 16 seconds, they start getting the same psychological things that happen when we talk about rage disorder. They start getting frustrated and angry. And, you know, you're talking to somebody who used to have a 300 baud modem back in the 80s. And, I mean, I can sit there and preach all day about how fast it is, but so many people have no concept that they've lost that contact with reality. And it's a scary thing. Again, I keep repeating how the internet is, and the people who run the internet, Facebook, the Instagram, the Snapchat, they intentionally feed those bikini clad people on the beach, which didn't work for me. So I'm just going to say that right up front. You know, and how people are able to take control of what we want to watch. They're going to feed those people. They're going to make sure they have that advertising revenue you were talking about. And then they're going to take people that they don't like what they're saying, and they're going to take away, they're going to demonetize their site because they don't like what you have to say. And that's wrong. And we have to do something about that. But what is it? I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade.
Jim, it's not beyond your pay rank, however. You are a securities guy. You spent much of your career in that area. Are rules the answer? And after you answer the question, why don't you take us home?
Well, I think, of course, some rules. And I don't want to have an argument with Chris, because fundamentally I believe that capitalism, if you leave unchecked, does create monopolies. Monopolies control, the same as state control does. So that's the risk here with the internet, is too much power in small groups. And I think we probably have to really rethink that and ensure that we don't have those types of controls and monopolies and allow actually free thought. And that's the foundation to our system.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back after the top of the hour news break. We are continuing our discussion about how much the government, how much the internet, et cetera, can really influence on thinking and how strongly they can influence it. Going to shake it up a little bit this time. Jim is going to handle the questions. I'm going to be chatting, obviously, with Dr. Huber, myself, and Chris Temple. Jimmy, you're on.
So at the end of the last segment, we talked just a little bit about potential for regulation. We do know that there's recent reporting that a number of states have merged together to actually do an antitrust investigation against Google and Facebook. And the European Union and Ireland have had some significant fines against Google and Facebook for monopolies and controlling markets and their advertising revenues and pushing out other people. And I know that there's a movement right now in Congress, and there's more discussion. There's been quite a few hearings on influences with these companies, the monopolization. And Chris, what's your thoughts on what's happening there in the regulatory environment, what's happening with congressional investigations, and where we were going with that?
Well, Jim, you've got partisan views on both sides that are going after Facebook, Google, et cetera, for one reason or another. But one of the most interesting things I saw recently was when Sean Duffy, who is a congressman actually of where I'm at right now in Northwest Wisconsin, who sadly announced he has to resign in a couple of weeks for family reasons, he asked a question and made some points about Facebook and Libra, their new proposed currency and currency platform, that really was chilling. And what he did was to draw a parallel to what is going on in China. Now, we could spend days and days on how our vocabulary these days has been bastardized. Words that used to mean one thing mean something else. I, for example, am a huge advocate and have been for years of social credit, which historically has to me a certain meaning strictly in terms of currency. But it has come about to have a different meaning in China, where they look at your overall behavior as a consumer and citizen to decide how many freedoms you have. And Congressman Duffy alleged with Facebook that its platform could be used in much the same way. He even asked, you know, if you're a Facebook user and you decide that you want to, quote, bank with Facebook and use their Libra platform, especially if it really catches on and it's the newest big deal, like a PayPal or like some major new cryptocurrency, but you say something wrong that some people behind the scenes at Facebook don't like, does that mean that your rights as a consumer are now shut down? Are you going to be barred from using Libra? So this is a very insidious new ingredient in all of this, where we have this social credit as it's coming to be defined now, that is way beyond a fair currency that meets all people's needs and is something that, whether it's in China or whether here with Facebook or something else, is something that is very insidious and would control really more of our lives, including, you know, going down to the store and buying groceries, your ability to do that if you express the views that are not allowable by the powers that be.
Which is exactly what's happening right now in China with right. their social credit score. And Dr. Huber, Chris mentioned the politics, and of course these companies have tremendous investments, and they are, you know, multi-billion, nearly trillion-dollar companies. They have tremendous influence and can buy. They buy lobbyists. They buy entire towns in some cases, really, really have a tremendous amount of influence. And then at the same time, they're gathering this type of data. What are your thoughts on us as individuals and how we manage this type of a problem?
Well, it becomes very difficult. I mean, right now, I mean, look what they do in social media. If the people at Facebook don't like what you said, you go into what they call Facebook jail, and they shut your account down for so many hours or days. I lost my account from them last year for 60 days and, you know, never got a reason why, never got an explanation, anything. I ultimately had to start a whole new Facebook and start all over with that. And if my money was tied up in that, you don't think that would create a problem? I think the little people have a lot to lose, as much as they are, in my opinion, now brainwashed into believing that Facebook is only there for our good. The word of Google says that we should do this and it's going to benefit us. It's like my dad used to tell me growing up, nobody from the government is actually here to help you. There's a process involved and they're showing up because they think you're doing something wrong. And I think it's more insidious because they know everything you're doing. I mean, we talk about, having normal conversations with people about a book, and all of a sudden you have an advertisement on Facebook for that. Your phone wasn't even turned on as far as you knew. And now you open up Facebook and there's an advertisement for a link that'll take you to that book so you can buy it. And it's happened to me numerous times, and with my partners at work, and we sat and had a lunch discussion with our phones in our pockets, and we get back in the vehicle to head back to the office, and everybody's social media has an advertisement for what we talked about. Pretty scary thing.
That is pretty frightening. And from a guy that comes from the world that actually takes a look I should warn all our listeners, your point should be taken very seriously. I'll say no more than that, but if you've got an electronic device anywhere near you, then you should always be concerned about that. The unfortunate thing is that we actually have to be worried about what we say today, and we will be exiled or be attacked by the Twitter mob, or potentially in time put into some sort of category where we have to be watched and ensure that we're doing something. Potentially with some of this legislation we're talking about with Second Amendment rights that the Congress is considering and potentially the White House is considering, where people are designated a particular way based on their profiles in social media. That's pretty frightening stuff. Al, what are your thoughts on this, and how what do you think is where we're heading?
Jim, I got to tell you, I brought this subject up because to me it's terrifying. You know, anytime you have mass control, where the rights of the individual, and I'm not talking necessarily from an ACLU standpoint, I'm talking about from a humanitarian standpoint. Any time when an individual really has to be careful about expressing whatever he wants to express, that means society has just gotten crazy, and it's a society, quite frankly, that I do not want to be a part of. Regulations are fine. The rules of golf are fine if you're playing golf. The rules of the road are fine if you're driving and where other people can be endangered. The rules of thinking are something that I think when society tries to engage with actual rules of what you can say and what you can't say, that's a society that I simply do not want to be a part of. And unfortunately, I have to tell you, with all of the conversations that I have with people on this subject, knowledgeable people who are involved in the computer industry right now, they all share exactly the same feelings that we have here. And I got to tell you guys out there, listeners better be really aware of the amount of control that social media is taken away from us.
Yeah, I think that Dr. Huber last week when we had this discussion talked a lot about the emotional and how people have responded and what I've seen. In fact, yesterday morning at a men's breakfast, people at the table just discussing some, you know, general issues, and somebody brought up the departure of General Mattis, and there were a couple people at the table that immediately were defensive and stopped listening to any discussion. And actually, one of the gentlemen got up and walked away with no rational, there's no anger, no rational thought. And that, I believe, there's a lot of information that's being driven through these social media outlets, and of course our larger media and general media outlets, that maybe is incredibly negative.
Okay, Huber, you're laughing all the time. With us or at us? I'm sure it's with us. Having said that, the subject...
I hope it's with.
I don't know either, bud, but I got to tell you, the subject that we are discussing right now is one that I very definitely want to get feedback on from our listeners. We got some very smart people out there. Bob Moriarty, what do you think about all of this? You know, I value your opinion. We don't agree on everything, but what do you think about the control that social media potentially can have over society? I think it's absolutely terrifying. I'm going to start out with you this time, Dr. John, and I want to ask the question, and that is, assuming people agree with us, what can they do to protect themselves?
What can you do to protect yourselves? Well, there's some basic simple things. First of all, don't bring any of those tools like Alexa into your house. That's not only inviting trouble, it's giving them essentially permission to listen to everything you say, and that scares me. The other thing is, you know, from a mental health standpoint, you need to find a way to separate from social media and get back to being a real person. And physiologically, we have to interact one-on-one, make connections with each other in order to be healthy, mentally healthy. We don't produce the right neurotransmitters when we're doing stuff online. And that facilitates and makes it even more easy for corporate America and the people that control the internet to actually get us addicted to social media and only responding to those little 15-minute news cycles where they're just changing the heading to get you emotionally upset instead of actually giving you information.
Mr. T, how about you, bud?
Well, John, I love what you said, John, because it reminds me of back in 1998, 1999, when I was on many platforms talking about the looming Y2K crisis. I told people that not only would the stock market not crash, it would soar in 98, 99, which it did, because the whole world was putting their money in U.S. markets. And secondly, that the Y2K bug itself would probably end up being much ado about nothing, because even though Alan Greenspan was the single most destructive policymaker in U.S. history, he at least got that right in making sure that there was never going to be a computer issue for the U.S. markets and banks. But the point of it is this. One of the things I said back then is that I wish these warnings were true, and that we did see a collapse of infrastructure and communication and so forth, because it would force people to become people again, to become independent thinkers again, to talk to their neighbors instead of not even knowing their names, to get back into local civic organizations and churches, et cetera. That is our problem. And like I said when we started this whole discussion, this country has been so dumbed down and so dehumanized by social media, by everything that has changed in our culture, that I fear that we're going to have a major collapse in society that will force people to get back to their roots, if you will, get back to what is really truth and away from the fluff and control of social media. I don't see it changing, sadly, any other way. And as best as each one of us can in our own circles of influence, we need to try and build a lifeboat for people ahead of that, and help to enhance their knowledge as to what's going on in the world, our society, and so forth, and put social media, which again can be a great tool, but put it in its proper context and not let it control us.
Mr. Jimmy.
So I mentioned this event yesterday in our last segment where a gentleman got up and walked off to the table. I didn't know him. We were, it was a very general positive, pretty, you know, there was nothing really negative. You could tell this gentleman just did not agree and got up and walked out without thinking or actually engaging. And a professional, retired, probably quite financially successful individual. And we've seen this before. If you have personal relations and you're close with people and you talk to them, regardless of your political ideologies, you usually filter what you're saying and you think and you have an open mind discussion. What I'm seeing right now is this complete move away from that, to where the first interaction is actually, how are you aligned? What's your political stance on the environment? What's your political stance on abortion? What's your political stance on the president? And unfortunately, it's driven by these media different outlets, and they want you to be more dependent upon them. They design the algorithms. They design the systems for you to be dependent on them, which pulls us away from each other, pulls us away from that community that Mr. Temple was talking about and how important that is to us. So I got to agree with Dr. Huber that's a critical element that we need to do, is reach out to each other and actually have more personal interaction and limit the amount of time that we have with these types of influence, especially for our children. And at the same time, use them in an effective way to gather information. The problem is when it begins to be filtered and shaped, and that is what I'm so concerned about. This small, very small group of corporate leaders that decide what is best for society or community, which is really what's best for their bottom line and for their market capitalization and their growth. It's not really about what's best for society. They would rather have you, it doesn't really, they don't really care about that. They just want an expanded market share and more control. And that's what everyone needs to realize, that they are the product. They're the person that's being bought and sold. Their information's being bought and sold, and they're being advertised to, because the largest capitalization companies are designed to do that, just market. Unfortunately, I don't see it going in the right direction unless, and I don't want to see us have a devolution in society. I don't want us to have a breakdown or civil war or some major catastrophe. I'd rather find a way through it. And the problem is people are just not engaged enough, and they are dependent upon it, and they will influence the outcomes. These social media technologies, these AI systems, they will shape the outcomes of our future. And the only way around it is to stand up, stay educated, and do your best, because the U.S. used to be the hope for everyone for free speech. That's where they came to. And unfortunately, we're becoming the example of exactly the opposite.
You know, it's funny, guys, but the last thing that, in my opinion, changed society, not such a large extent of society, but certainly a portion of society, the last thing that happened, the last major thing, in my opinion, that happened, you know, was the advent of the aeroplane. The aeroplane totally changed the complexion of the world. You know, instead of going out to your lake place or the local campground for a vacation, all of a sudden it became very, very possible for a lot of people to go to South America, to go to Europe, etc., etc. And nothing dangerous whatsoever about that, because that didn't involve any kind of mind control whatsoever. But by its very nature, social media is more than a universe where you could just communicate with other people. Social media has turned into a facet of our society that can actually control your thinking. Go ahead.
No, I just think that we have evolved over, you know, human beings have evolved over millennia to deal with transition and change. The difference now is the speed at which we're information age is changing us is so rapid that I'm not sure that we're actually capable of absorbing the change. And I don't know what Dr. Huber's thoughts on it. I know we've got just a short period of time, but that's what I'm most concerned about, our ability to actually adjust to this change and somebody not taking advantage of it. We've got about 30 seconds. We've got about a minute left, I guess.
All right. Well, my concern is exactly what you said, and I was thinking of that as we were talking, how we had decades to learn about television, and, you know, we talked about it being a mind suck, and then all of a sudden, you know, Elvis is on there, and Elvis is going to destroy the civilization, and we had time to deal with it. We survived Elvis. Now smartphones kicked in 2007. We've got 12 years, and look where we're at, and we still have not caught up with it. Technologically, regulation-wise, if we should be regulating international concepts, and now we've got, you know, we got a revolution potentially on the brink in Hong Kong, where people are wanting some form of democracy, and that might be enough to change. But I think the powers that control that internet are going to be able to shut that down and not let us see the whole real picture, except for the way they want us to see it.
Very possible. Big John, we're out of time totally. Ladies and gentlemen, join us next week.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.